Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Thank you for your generous support. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president of radio operations at Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's Breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com or through our Facebook page. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. And this week on Art in the Air Spotlight, we have Jonathan Lovett, who is the, youth specialist for the Michigan City Library. And he's going to tell us a little bit about goings on there that they have at the Michigan City Library, especially for youth, and some special things that are going on. Jonathan, welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you do there at the Michigan City Library, just some of the programs and things that you're involved with personally.
So over the past year, we kind of had to reinvent ourselves and take everything that we were going to offer the public largely virtual. And in that time, we as a group, as an institution, have developed some 3D modeling classes that we teach online. They're all fully virtual for kids to come and learn how to make stuff. And then we print it for them for free on our 3D printers, which I think is pretty cool. We also are just now getting off the ground a Raspberry Pi coding club that I'm going to start here in the next month. There's no dates for that yet. It's kind of TBD. I also am really passionate about the graphic novel club that I started. I monthly post a Goodreads review about whatever our book of the month is. We do a podcast on that. And then we have a public Zoom meeting that anybody that's interested can come and discuss the book of the month with us. But I think where I'm most focused and happiest is that I was able to launch a Dungeons and Dragons group here at the library and kind of get kids to break from the mold of traditional Zoom meetings and getting just, you know, inundated with stuff with from teachers and all sorts of things. They get to be creative and come and kind of do a cooperative storytelling thing with me. And so that's really one of my large passion projects that we've developed over the past several months.
I'm so glad you did that, because role-playing involves so much. It involves logic. It involves usually some basic math and all sorts of social skills and cognitive skills. So it's really it's a wonderful thing that you're bringing it online to open it up to so many more people. So, Jonathan, who introduced you to D&D?
Oh, gosh. I was introduced to Dungeons & Dragons in high school from my then-girlfriend's brother-in-law. He was a little bit older than me. He was like 22 years old. And we would all go over to his house pretty much weekly, and we would play. And we must have played an ongoing campaign with different characters cropping up as they died and so forth for probably 6 or 7 years. Even after I went off to college and stuff, we would still try and meet up either, you know, over the phone or virtually. Like, we still tried to keep it going.
And, you know, I'll explain for our audience real briefly what is Dungeons & Dragons. Not just a role-playing game, but just kind of a quick thumbnail sketch of it.
Sure. So you have someone who is like a storyteller, referred to as a dungeon master, who kind of crafts the world. And if you think of it like a movie, then all the major characters in a movie, the protagonist and his group, they're the players in the game, while everything else that happens to them or around them in the film is orchestrated by the dungeon master. Is that a decent enough?
That's excellent. Yeah, sure. That's good. And I guess we probably should get to the point of if someone wants to become involved in it, how do they do that with Michigan City? Is there restrictions about library membership or anything like that?
None such as that. I don't want to limit it to anybody like regionally or anything like that. I just need them to contact me because I have a online thing on a website called D&D Beyond, where I can issue them characters digitally, or they can come into the library and get a physical copy of their character. So if they want to contact me and use services, our phone number is 219-873-3045, or they can email me at ysonline@miglib.org, mclib.org, or just jlovett@miglib. That's my personal email address here at work.
So, Jonathan, is each game an individual unit, or do the campaigns go from month to month?
In general, I would love to build an ongoing campaign. I originally designed it to be what's called one-shots, individual campaigns for the month, so that I could accommodate for newcomers every time. So far, I tend to be building a solid group. I have a few people that tend to show up relatively consistently. So if that continues to be the case, I'll continue to build the story for them. But as of right now, I'm open to anything. I just want to get it out there for more people.
So can you be a complete newcomer to this? Like, no
Absolutely.
Experience whatsoever?
No, you certainly can. I love the blank slate approach to it, because then they don't come in with any preconceptions of what it is or isn't supposed to be. It's set in the 80s and stuff like that.
Have you had anyone that brought a character from another dungeon? Have you ever done anything like that?
I actually have. One of my coworkers, his name is Max, he discussed bringing a character with me from another campaign that he actually plays with me outside the library.
Very good. So, this just goes on continuously, right?
Yeah, every month, the last Wednesday of every month, we're going to try and hold it. It goes from 3:30 to 5:30. Please come and see us and hang out with us and play Dungeons & Dragons with us. Online thing on a website called D&D Beyond. Phone number is 219-873-3045. Or they can email me at ysonline@miglib.org, mclib.org.
And that was Jonathan Lovett from Michigan City Library, the Youth Services Specialist. Thank you for coming on Art on the Air Spotlight.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And on Art in the Air, we're pleased to welcome a performer who's been in dinner theaters, bands of any genre, comedy shows, improv, been at Disney World, Busch Gardens, has traveled professionally, performed on television commercials. She plays guitar, piano, writes and arranges her own music. And she describes her style being diverse from country, pop, blues, soul, rock, and a whole blend of all those. We'd like to welcome to Art in the Air, Anne-Marie Paserno. Welcome to Art in the Air.
Hi there, Larry. Thanks for having me, and thanks to the listeners for tuning in.
Well, we'd like our listeners to discover a little bit about you. So tell us about your journey, how you got from where you were to where you are, like where you grew up and schools and things and everything along the way, and how you ended up in Nashville.
Well, you know, I was actually a very shy, quiet child, and I have three sisters, though I was the youngest of three, and then a younger sister came along 10 years later. But for the longest time, I was the youngest of three. And I was the shy, quiet one, but I was also the musically gifted, artistic one. And so I wrote a lot of stories and poems and played guitar and piano and kind of was in my own little dream world. But my teachers all recognized that in elementary school and moving into middle school and high school, you know, nurtured those talents. So I just kept writing, and I used to do actually long novels and stories, and I would write songs as well. And it's kind of funny because my childhood songs and all poems were real serious stuff, and I did a lot of art, and I would get into theater shows that they would you know, encourage me to be in. So everything from kindergarten upwards, I just was very creative and active and did everything from Sound to Music to, you know, Annie to whatever theater parts. So I went off to college, and when I went off to college, I selected to be a music theater major. And the reason I did was because I liked singing, I liked acting, I liked dancing, I liked comedy. And I just remember my first big theater audition, they made us do cartwheels across the stage.
Wow.
And I'm calling my mom home from college. Remember the little payphones in the dormitory that are non-existent? I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. My gosh, the dancing. You know, I wasn't the greatest dancer, but I learned how to tap dance. I learned show dancing. You know, I wasn't a ballerina or anything like that. So, and they're like, well, you're wasting your time. And I wish I could say my parents were supportive, but they really weren't. They were just scared I was just going to fall off the earth and be poor the rest of my life. So I am pretty much poor the rest of my life, but I've been very rich in everything I learned in college and, you know, went off to professional dinner theater jobs, Disney World, Busch Gardens, like you said, and just started creating kind of my own identity. I finally decided I'm not just a singer, a writer, an actor, a dancer, a comedian. I'm an entertainer. And I take everything that I've learned in all my past performance experiences, and I try and put those into my performances, whether it's live, a written song. And, you know, the songs I've been putting out here in Nashville since 2012 pretty much detail my songwriter journey.
So your look is very sparkly sequins and fun props. Did that start? Did you start developing that in like elementary school?
You know, I just kind of came to the resolution. I'm not Barbie, but people do like to laugh. And I think when you insert a little humor in what you're presenting, then people don't think that you think you're all that and realize that maybe you don't take everything so seriously, though I do take my music and presentation very seriously of how I present my music. But, and I think people just need to have fun, especially now during the last year with the stress of what everybody's gone through and shut down. So,
it's very memorable, you know, it's very memorable. So the sparkly glasses. So what would your dream stage set be then? So it sounds like you.
Or role. I was going to ask what your favorite role was.
If I could have it all, you know, because all the songs I've been writing, my bucket list is to put my songs, which are kind of like Love Lost, the stress of being an out of work musician and working hard for pennies and pushing, and then the humor and the affairs and the love lost and the more love. It's like all my songs, if you listen to them, pretty much do tell my story, or from maybe somebody I encountered, their point of view. There's some different stories. And so the whole sparkly atmosphere, I want to put all these into a live theater show of my original music, kind of like how Jagged Little Pill from Alanis Morissette is on Broadway right now,
right,
and nominated for a Grammy Award, because they took her original music, which is like on the radio, so more current pop, country, whatever her style was. Mine's more multi-genre, pop, country, blues, American roots. But I want to show the story behind the songs, as you have actors and you have dancers. And if I could have it all, it would have maybe, you know, video special effects and the big Broadway sets. And of course, the glitter and the glasses and the wigs. And, you know, I would just want to go to town. In my head, it's a big dream to take all these songs I've been writing since I moved to Nashville and show people how they got written and how they developed me as an entertainer.
A multi-stage thing happening, it sounds like.
Yeah, and the
like.
Busby Berkeley. I mean, who doesn't like, remember the movies of 34? The Busby, the formations of the dancers, and I'm all about, you know, if I could have my dream, you know. So that's what I would love to do with my music.
What roles have you played in theater?
Oh, I have done just about everything. I've been in Sweeney Todd.
What'd you play?
Ensemble. I was the ensemble in that, but that's okay. An incredible show to see harmonies. And you play many, many different character parts throughout the show as an ensemble. I've done Funny Girl, the Barbra Streisand show. I've done Carnival, Rosalie. I've done, let me think here. We did, House of Blue Leaves, which was a very serious. I played Bananas.
Right. Oh, I know that one.
The lady that goes crazy. I love that role. Did tons of music theater reviews. What's the other one? Dames at Sea. I did Joan. I love that.
Oh, my gosh. That's not even, you don't hear that very often anymore. Dames at Sea.
Oh, I love that show. Chew Gum and Tap Dance. And, I'm thinking off the top of my head. I'm sure I did more. Oh, I did Honky Tonk Angels. At a dinner theater in Pennsylvania, probably like 15 years ago. And I was Angela, the trailer park mama. So it's all fun, you know, and I always felt like I was always learning, even though I would get in a role. I always felt like a year later, just like if you ran a mile the next year, you'd be like, how come I couldn't run this mile this fast last year? So I've always been learning, even with my improvisational comedy days at Disney World. I was green. I mean, I just had a great audition because I practice and rehearse and fine tune it. But I actually was in with these comedy troupes that some of these people went on, like Wayne Brady has his own TV show and a major celebrity. And they had all sorts of improv and I was just learning comedy, but they saw something in my audition. So even now, I constantly challenge myself to keep improving whatever I did before. I just think, the layering as an artist, even when I watch music videos, you mentioned being sparkly and I want to make it different because so many people, when they do a music video, they just lip sync and you see a band in a cornfield and they have fire going up in the background and you wonder, how did they get electricity out in the cornfield? And, you know, that's a standard in Nashville, these country bands, the band singing out. And it's like, so when we did Money Pain, for example, we recorded in studio in person, me and Bob McGilpin, who actually wrote that song with Larry Morton. And Great Tune asked me to sing on it. And he's my producer. I pay him to produce my music. But this was the one song that he asked, would I sing on? I'm like, yes. And came out great. Then we wanted to do the music video with the band, but then COVID hit. And the lockdown and shutdown. So I had to think of an inventive way to do the video. So he did it in his beautiful house by the grand piano with the champagne. And I had to find places around my apartment and stuff where I could film my clips. And somehow it came together. Everybody was like, wow, you guys interact so well together. And really, it was,
Very separate.
We weren't ever in the same place in the video, but we have such a great connection as producer and artist. That, you know, I kind of told them some of the things and I edited everything. And is it perfect? No, but a lot of people enjoyed it. And that song was pretty successful on a lot of indie radio charts. Plus, aired on television. So, hey, Bongo Boy TV from Bongo Boy Records has a MTV style show. And they've aired Money Pain on their music program several times, the video. So I'm happy with it. It's like, you know, I persevered. I just kept going. Whenever you get a roadblock, you just have to keep going.
Well, we're talking about Money Pain. Why don't we go ahead and take a listen to it right now?
I opened my mailbox, nothing but bills. A house with no heat, give my blues.
was Anne-Marie Pescaro and Money Pain, which you just talked about.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to look at the video. It's a lot of fun. So, Anne-Marie, Bonfire was a huge collaboration. What was that process like to mix all those personalities?
Oh, wow. You know, that song actually made me some friends for life because some of those people I had just met. So the song originated from Gene DiPiero, though he does go by Gene Piero on Facebook. He's with Hamilton Radio, and he's always tried to help a lot of independent artists. And we were chatting, and he said, why don't you write a song about people coming together and helping other people? He goes, because I know I want to help artists, and it's burning in me. And we were chatting back and forth. And so I took that conversation and copied and pasted it, stuck in a notepad, and was looking at some of the things that he said. It's burning in me, and you know, I want people to let go of past regrets. And I started writing the song, thinking about a single person sitting around the bonfire in the beginning, and they're telling maybe their personal story, and they play, and people are listening and joining in and singing. That's your typical bonfire. But then I also started Googling and looking up the history of bonfires. So bonfires have burned bodies in wars. Bonfires have been celebrations in whatever countries. Bonfires have been festivals of light. Bonfires have historically been a purging of the past. And then they're also very personal for going back to people around the bonfire. There's a sense of community and helpfulness. And so the spirit of the bonfire, and then the whole five senses things of the heat and the swirling of the sparks and the soul and the spiritual aspect of what people do when they come together. So I took all those ideas and somehow I just, boom, right in a song. It's like once I get inspired about what the point of view is and what are we talking about and then what's the message, it's not hard for me to write a song. So the song got written. I played it on guitar. I sent my little bad demo to Bob Gilpin, my producer. And once I laid the basic vocals, he started putting in some beautiful sounds, you know, because I said, we want to hear banjo. I've been to bonfires where you see all these homemade instruments and everything from banjo to mandolin to beatboxes to guitar, right? Unusual flutes. So he was putting in some beautiful sounds. And I said, this can't be a solo song. This is about people coming together. So when we went back for the adding harmonies, I called up my good girlfriend, Lisa Coppola, and she flew out. And Jimmy Parker, who is very well known in Nashville, and Donna Joe, and Benny Pitsinger, Steve Owen. I said, hey, why don't you come into the studio? I'm going to be here on this day. And they all showed up. The only one that couldn't show up was Donna Joe, who sings that beautiful gospel at the end. So once we had these, I added her part at the end, and we did kind of a Zoom, and we laughed and cried, and just a great person that I met once here in Nashville. But we really connected, and I let her know what kind of part she wanted to sing, and we practiced. And then she sent me the track, and we plugged her in the song. But that is how that song came together. And it was so natural when we were in the studio working together and doing the parts that it won a, I want to say 2018 Josie Music Award and got all sorts of airplay and also submitted on the, I want to say the 61st Grammy first ballot. So, you know, I felt
pretty
like
cool.
It was very cool and very proud. And of course, Gene, who was the inspiration behind the song, Gene Piero, he, you know, was just cried. And so anytime we got an award, whether it was from a radio station or Josie, I would send him or ship him the award or the plaque as well as my producer, because it would have never happened had he not suggested it.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Well, maybe we should take a listen to Bonfire right now, since you've set that up and talked about that. So here's Bonfire.
Many a story had been told round the bonfire.
Up fire of passion deep down inside. Regret and tears I cannot hide.
But I have a fire burns round me.
I've thrown in dreams, emotions fight.
Memories blaze to shed a light. Bonfire ignites from within me. Light up the night, celebration, festival of light. It's tradition, burning bright, fire ignites away. Sharing in a song, playing music, a single spark, people help build it. Swirling up in smoke, all pain melts away. Feel the heat, sparks fly. Share and warmth right in our eyes. Love in the bonfire. Love in the bonfire.
I have sticks and stones, I've got old bones. The universe is never wrong.
You're the right one to come along. Bonfires lit, burning desire.
There's no accidents in life.
We'll keep the sun alive till early morn. This bonfire's going strong, giving us strength. Festival of light, it's tradition, burning bright, fire ignites away. Sharing in a song, playing music, a single spark, people help build it, swirling up in smoke, all pain melts away. Feel the heat, sparks fly.
And that was Bonfire, Emery Paterno. Hey, that was a wonderful song. And one of the comments after listening to your music coming from a recording engineer, I love that you're using the full stereo perspective. I mean, you've got instruments over here. It's kind of like an older style thing when stereo came in and, you know, you hear like things completely right channel, left channel. The mix is really interesting and I like that. It seems like so much almost sounds like mono nowadays. And I'll have to tell you, yours certainly doesn't. It sounds just very interesting, especially if you're listening for the headphones.
Yeah, Bob McGilpin is an excellent producer, plus a great friend, and we sit down and this Bonfire was one of my earlier songs, so I feel it just keeps getting better and better as we put out more music. And I'm very picky. He says, you know, you're about the only one that I do all this extra stuff for, but we developed a great rapport, and you know, I'll even challenge him and be like, come on, Bob, I want you to sound like Brad Paisley, or I want you to put a little Santana here. You're holding back. You're holding back. Come on, squeal it a little bit. And I think he likes that. So we developed this friendship. And, you know, the whole bonfire thing is around, by the way. It starts with a simple melody premise, right, and voice. And then you got a second section and a third, and then they all come in together. And I like to do that with a lot of my songs, start simple or start traditional, and then build in another theme or another theme, and then tie it all in together with a bigger ending all the time. So, and I also told him, I can do commercial country if I wanted, but I wanted it to sound like, and this goes the same for when I sing, I want people to hear on the radio recording what they would hear if I was to perform it live vocally and with those same instruments. And I think Bob does a great job of weaving in those instruments around the voices. He makes them dance. You feel movement. And I think that's a gift in a producer.
It's true. It doesn't, it's not predictable, which is what I like. It's just, you don't know what to expect from you, which is what's exciting about each song. You know, they just have, they're very individual.
I have a new one that I haven't released yet that I did have one radio DJ say, well, that's not your best, but he is very much into commercial country, new country. And a single that you have not yet heard yet is more of a dark, I want to say pop rock, and has a very serious theme about the violence in the world, and is a little more theatrical and emotional. So I sent it to another friend that was like, oh, he's totally wrong. This is awesome. But she's a Grammy member, and she understands what the song's about because it's the lyrics. He was probably listening to the sound, and he doesn't prefer that type of music. So being a multi-genre artist, I find challenging because I want to write what I feel, and depending on what I'm feeling at the time determines what the genre of the song is. I primarily was in American roots and kind of a folk country with a hint of rock or blues. But then once in a while, I want to put a little more guts or power behind it, or, you know, so now we've done blues, which is Money Pain. I've done some traditional country. That was Trouble, a duet with Kenny Lee. That was very traditional country. Because people are like, oh, you're not, oh, wow, that's country. Wow, you got that great. And so as the years go on, people realize, well, she is multi-genre. Because one minute she's got pop rock, and now this one's country. And, you know, and I like that. Because I think it's just like being an actress. Just because you're a singer doesn't mean you don't put the emotion, the character, or the interpretation behind the song. So if you determine those three things, that's what's going to determine how your song might sound.
So has your music been covered by anyone else?
No, you know what? And I thought about that, and it's always money, of course. But because I've thought about a bonfire challenge. And you know what? It's just time, because back in when I was in Florida doing a lot of bands, I did every sort of live band under the sun. And I would do benefits for cystic fibrosis. I basically called restaurants, hotels, limousine companies, bicycle places. And I put together a whole week package for a couple to win as a prize for this benefit, or it was an auction. And it was a fabulous vacation, included lodging, travel, hotel, food, fun activities. And I just picked up the phone and said, hey, would you donate? And they did. So I need to do the same with businesses, because I've thought about, I have the tracks to put some challenges out there to my fans to, you know, do their version of Money Pain or do their version of Bonfire. And so I have thought of that, and I probably will do one coming up in the year.
That sounds like fun. And I also wanted to say congratulations on Mr. Santa being number 6 on the Australian charts. That's pretty cool too.
Thank you. Yep. Tiger FM. And, you know, I kind of find that funny because that's a tough chart. That's mostly Tasmanian or Tamworth artists, Australian artists. And actually, Money Pain, I want to say it hit as high as number 3 when that song came out. And I was loving that because that's a blues tune. and I was topping the chart among Australian country artists. But I love it when that happens.
Don't you? Because it really brings the world much closer.
I think Facebook and Zoom and, you know, people can gripe about Facebook all they want and any other social media platform, but really, that's such a great connection. I wouldn't know Larry. You wouldn't know me. We find fans. We find radio stations. There's all sorts of junk on Facebook, too. But really, half the people I know, I love to see what's going on in my community and find new musicians. And, you know, I think it's a great thing. It can be misused or you can use it to your advantage. I use it personally for my own connections and, you know, advancing my music.
I know for me, it's like that's kind of how I connected through you with the Grammy FYC group. And what it's done for me is it makes me want to listen to their music and kind of encourage to vote for some of them in the earlier phases to at least give them a chance. And so, you know, we've had Wouter Kellerman on and Lisa Snyderman and, and it's just these online things that we're hooking up with everyone. And yeah, you're right. And the other funny thing, just to get off subject for a second about Facebook, is it's amazing, like how different parts of your life, how all of a sudden, how do you know that person you see them as friends. So it's kind of strange. Real quick.
I call it 6 degrees of separation.
I want to just ask real quickly about the COVID and how it's impacting you, positive or negative. I mean, obviously, can't go out and do much public performance, but, I know we now have the light at the end of the tunnel, but how has it affected you over this almost past year?
So I want to say, I think it was in March. I work for a corporation. I do have a day job because I'm an independent artist. I fund all my music myself. So they got us working from home, which is great. That's a plus. And I got a cat, too. And my cat at first was like, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be back here for 8 hours. You're disrupting my nap. But working from home frees up some time. The downside is you never get out of pajamas. And you probably need to go on a COVID diet and lose probably about 10 pounds at this point. Because you can get too sequestered. And then of course I'm careful about going out certain places. I do have a music venue where I like to go out on the patio, but it's getting a little cold. So, I don't particularly care going in crowded places, but you feel the need that you do have to get out and engage. Financially, it's about the same. I might be saving money because I have a job. So I was one of the lucky that didn't lose a job or be affected. So pretty much it was par for the course, and it kind of didn't change except for maybe gaining a little travel time, because now I just roll out of bed and walk over to my desk. But the thing is that I pretty much worked this job, and then as soon as I got off, just like I'm doing this interview, I am moving my computer over to the couch next to my cat and settling in and doing the music and the Facebook and the Grammy For Your Consideration campaigns and all those things and emails going up to 12, 1 o'clock at night. So I'm pretty much on this computer, anywhere from 14 to 20 hours a day and doing all that stuff.
With songwriting, does it just kind of pop into your head, or can you actually sit down and go, I'm going to write a song?
I would say everybody got a little depressed during COVID, but I wrote 5 songs, but I had to shut off the computer and phone and really just say, okay, because I had them in my head. And I sent my producer 5. So far, we've finished 3. For the most part, as long as I know, this goes for writing a poem, a book, a story, novel, or a song. Who, what, where, why, when, how? If you can answer those questions, you got a pretty good. So if you hear one good line, and I have one, Discount Tobacco and Beer, the only song that has the word beer in it. But that song was a basic story song of just some bums that I'd ask where did they want to go, and they wanted to go to the package store and get cheap cigarettes and beer in a brown paper bag. And it just always stuck with me. And so I decided, well, that there's no real theme or moral. It's more of a story character song. But I was able to write it. Boom. Bonfire. Trouble. Well, I got in trouble. That's what that song was about. Kenny Lee had the duet about a couple that maybe drinks too much and decides they might go home together, you know, and they're acknowledging that they're flirting and they're having fun. And these songs, when they're great, they naturally write themselves. I have a lot of unfinished songs in my computer that have a cool line or this or that. But if you don't know what the song is about and whose perspective and what point of view you're going to take on the song, then you'll just have a good hook. So the verses typically will set up the story or the premise, and the chorus is usually the moral, in my opinion, or the message. That's kind of how I approach it all.
Well, let's talk about one of the other songs, which is a little bit different. It's called Thank You. Set up the maybe the storyline behind that before we take a listen to it, Anne-Marie.
Definitely, this is a highly personal song detailing my journey, my personal journey in Nashville, where I packed up my car. I didn't know a soul, and I came out here 9 years ago. Didn't know a soul. So I've had lost loves. I've had no food in my refrigerator. I've slept on the floor, saved every penny to fund my music and persevered. And I had this car at the time I wrote the song. I guess it was, I've got an 11-year-old car that gets me to a job. Ended up getting rid of it at 13, 14 years. Finally traded it in 2 years ago. But and the dashboard light went out and the odometer didn't work. So I'd be driving into work, basically dragging my butt into work, driving just, and every morning in my head, I'd be going, thank you for this car. Thank you for the food I had to eat. I might've only had one egg left in my refrigerator. And I say, thank you for the food I had to eat. Thank you for the place I had to sleep. I was sleeping on the floor. Thank you for my cat. God, please bless my family, my friends. God, please help me be nice to people today because I dreaded my day job anyway. Please help me be nice to people today. And I'd be pounding the dash because the light would come on intermittently or get the odometer going. And I'd pound the dash going, just make this car work one more day. Thank you for this car. I'm getting to my job. And I thought, you know, let's write that as a song. I just, thank you for the breath I have today. Thank you for the will I have to pray. And I pray, you know, I pray the world finds peace because we all get scared about all the violence in the world. I pray for my friends and family. And it just wrote itself. And I don't, you know, that's how my songs get written. I just kind of like an online diary. Write down what you're thinking because a song, then you can tweak it and put it in format of measures. But so I was writing down whatever, what scares me and what do I pray about? And, you know, it was, and it's the things that I say every morning. Now all I got to do is play the song.
There you go.
You know, but it's pretty much what I say every morning as I'm going forward to kind of give myself that inner spirit, that drive to keep going even when it's tough.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Well, why don't we go ahead and take a listen to it? This is Thank You.
Here it is.
Thank you for the breath I have today. Thank you for the will I have to pray. Thank you for the food I had to eat. Thank you for the place I had to sleep. I've got an 11-year-old car that gets me to a job. I've got some bills to pay. I may not have a lot of things, but I'm still grateful. I pray I'll find my way. And I pray the world finds love and peace. And I pray we'll all be safe and free. And I pray we'll join together. Thanks is always better. Thank you. you for the strength I have today. Thank you for the voice I have to pray. Thank you, I'm alive and I am safe. Thank you for the love that still awaits. After my dark storms, I felt the joy and seen the light of day. When it's cold outside, I have found love's warm. I still can stand and say, and I pray. Join together, thanks is always better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Serenos, that's thank you. And that was a very introspective song and
emotional.
Very emotional. And I can see why it's almost like your personal prayer every day. And maybe we all should have that kind of personal prayer there.
Yeah. And my dream is, oh, I would love to have the huge choir behind me, you know, on the big lavish production. But I also had the honor of performing that song on a grand piano a year ago. With the Indie Collaborative, they had a showcase over at El Portal Theater or Debbie Reynolds Theater, and played just the grand piano singing that, and got a really great, you know, response from it. And a lot of people coming up to me going, wow. And, you know, personally, I think I have great music, and, you know, I'm older, but I still compete against 20-year-olds in radio. I don't think I do too bad as an independent artist. And I feel like that song is going to be a timeless song, as some of the other songs I've written, that they'll still be around. Money is always a factor to try and get it to a wider audience. So I always appreciate interviews like this and, you know, live opportunities and television, whatever, to just keep getting those songs, because I think these songs are just, they're meant to be heard even 20 years from now. You know, I try and write something that is going to last beyond the hip.
Well, I guess all our art is, you know, we're just trying to leave our legacy in whatever form that takes.
What projects are you looking forward to that you haven't quite done yet? We talked a little bit about that, but I know you have songs in the hopper, but any special projects you're looking at?
Well, I did have a lot of live video stream events, and I'd like to do a little bit more of that as a year, just because not everybody can get out of the house. And I think a lot of artists persevered to what, when our concerts and shows were canceled. You know, I had friends that had Carnegie Hall canceled and things that they networked, and well, the Grammys, I believe, are going to be
all virtual
this year.
Yeah.
They already did the nomination thing remote. So that's sad. I mean, if I was a nominee, I would want that thrill to be able to go out to LA and travel and have the red carpet and all the events that you do. So that's definitely a bummer. But with the sense of that this could be the new normal, we all need to connect other ways. So doing live stream concerts with tip jars, interactive, you know, performances, engaging, can help. And, you know, I do have other songs that I want to make the music videos for, though some in my head I would, you know, like other people in the videos. So of course COVID's an issue, but down the road, these videos will be made. You know, I feel like these songs, it doesn't matter whether I wrote the song 5 years ago when it was on radio, I can still do the music video and get it on television. So I think television and visual art is where I'm going to put a lot of my focus. I want to try and do more live performances, whether it's actually at a venue. My album's almost finished. That I probably have the two that are finished after Mr. Santa. They're already ready to go, but you know, you want to have a period of promotion. But there's another one song, and then I would say that this album, Songs from Nashville, is complete, where I would start writing the theater show and the live show and do an album release with the show. And maybe it starts as a one-woman show. That's how a lot of Broadway shows start, where they do a reading and they do the music, right, with the album release. But ultimately, I would like to get a cast of dancers and some actors that tell these stories of my song in a production. So, you know, you just keep going every day. I feel like if you just put a little bit of something every day towards your music, whether it's an interview, promotion, practice, writing a song, sending some emails, you know, sending your music out to new stations, as long as you're doing something every day towards that, you're always going to progress. And I look back to 3 years ago, because that's when I became a Grammy member. I would have never imagined I would have been accepted as a Grammy member. And now I'm a Grammy member. And I know Grammy winners, and I know independent artists that have been nominated and some Grammy winners. So I think it's all possible. I'm still dealing with that money pain, but I'm going to figure it out, because I feel like I'm a smart person. And you find sponsors and you find people that believe in your music. And I have had people sponsor me to be on television and different things. So I just keep going and saying, you know, I'm going to keep putting it out there and do it my way, because at some point you have to stop pleasing all the other little voices or trolls, and you need to be who you are. So I'm going to be me with my sparkle glasses and my crazy dancing and silly stuff. And
it's
I have
true.
A lot of other ideas about it.
It's true. It all starts with that dream. If you don't have the dream, you have nothing to reach for. And it does, like you say, step by step, every day, just a little bit closer to realization.
You can't copy people. If you're copying everybody, that's why when we turn on New Country or Commercial Country, everybody sounds the same, right? And I got a big dick check, and I got my beer, and I got my girl. And it's like, okay, am I really going to be listening to this 20 years from now? But Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, that's a classic. I'm hoping Mr. Santa is a classic, right? 20 years from, they'll be like, that's a classic song. It's not really about Santa. It is, but it's more about love. It's about couples loving each other every day of the year, and growing old together and making memories. And maybe they have their first Christmas, but that's why she wants them to be Mr. Santa every day. And so I want to be that timeless song that people go, wow, how come I haven't heard this before? That it will still last even when I'm gone. I hope people will visit my website, annemariepiserno.com, because at the top they can find every single social media tab to connect with me, whatever you use, and find all the music stores, Spotify, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. So just go to annemariepiserno.com if you can spell my name.
Well, don't worry. We have, if they click,
you'll find me.
They click on your picture, it'll link right to that when we put it up. So, well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. And we also did feature Mr. Santa back Christmas show. So we already have played that. But anyway, appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. Anne Marie Piserno, dinner theaters, bands, mixed, a whole bunch of music and everything. We really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your life story and your music. Thank you so much, Anne Marie, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I've had a great time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary Levan, arts patron. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, B-R-E-C-H.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther. I'm